We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back down here at Gillette Stadium. Time to talk to the coach, Bill Belichick. It's brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Every Day Amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarland Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work, and by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, how you doing today?
Good, Glenn. Good.
Tired?
You just got a couple more hours of sleep.
I was going to say, yeah.
But it's a good tired, so. Christian, Lou, how are we doing?
Good, good. All of us are kind of dealing with the same issues, lack of sleep. A lot going on.
I guess it's better than losing and getting no sleep,
it's
right?
It's a lot better. A whole lot better.
Let's ask you about the approach in this one. They had the ball for 23 minutes, almost 24 minutes, and they ended up scoring 40 points. You ran the ball effectively in this game. Game plan going in, running the ball because that's what Kansas City was giving you, or did you want to control that ball to keep their offense off the field? Because it's so unusual to see that, because usually you're the high-powered offense and you're trying to score as many times as possible.
Well, as always, Glenn, we try to do what we feel like is working or what's going to work best. So if it's run it, it's run. If it's throw it, it's throw it. Some combination, then it could be that too. So we don't really have a preference. We just want to move the ball and score points. And felt like that there were some opportunities to run the ball, and we took advantage of some of those, ran the ball, as you said, competitively. That opened up some other things in the passing game, play action passes. So we had balance. If they had defended us differently, we might not have had balance in one way or the other. So,
you know, the red zone defense for you guys, especially in the first half, was really good. Really left they had to settle for field goals. Is that almost like a benefit with a team like this that they don't have the advantage of so much space to operate in for you guys as a defense? Almost make it easier for you to slow them down.
Well, I think just in general, it's harder in the red area offensively because you have less space. So. All the defenders are closer to the line of scrimmage. All the safeties are linebackers. And in the passing game, there's just less space to throw the ball, so everything's got to be in the tighter windows. And good throws, good catches usually away from your body, getting the feet down and bounds, things like that. So it just makes it a little more difficult. I don't think it's anything unique to us or anybody else. It's just hard to score down there.
You know, usually there's great offenses in this league, and usually one of the great offenses is your team. And I'm curious, this team here, you talked last week of how difficult it is, can't double-team everybody. Can you compare this offense to any one you've gone up against in the past? You have to go all the way back to Peyton Manning, because it seemed like it's so explosive.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I don't know. We'll see how it goes this week against the Bears defense. It could be a different story, so we'll just take it week to week.
Did first time seeing Patrick Mahomes in a game, did he surprise you? Did he do some things that you didn't think he was capable of doing? Just your overall, just I guess, analysis of him, seeing him on the field for the first time.
Yeah, well, he's a good player. He's got a great arm. He's athletic. He didn't really run much against us. He kept the ball on that fourth and one, but. He scrambled some to throw. Overall, the containment on him wasn't that big of an issue. I'd say the issue was some extended plays where he made a couple good throws. He gave us a couple opportunities to turn the ball over. But he's got a strong arm, and throws very well out of the pocket. He finds receivers out of the pocket. The extended plays he made were impressive.
Let me ask you about your offense, because the first few weeks it was trying to generate the offense through those weapons. Then you get Edelman back, and now you've gone on, 38, 43 points, and there seems to be an awful lot of weapons out there, especially with Michelle running and obviously James White out of the backfield. Is this what you envisioned at the beginning of the year, and how much does Edelman play into that?
Well, it's good to have all the good players that you can have. So we're happy to have anybody that's healthy and ready to go out there and help us. Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I don't know that there was a big vision. You just try to start working guys in and see how it goes and adapt and adjust as you on the fly.
You know, that Dante Hightower interception, is that, you know, this offense, the RPO, this quick slants over the middle, it seemed like that was kind of like a game plan, maybe show blitz, hit the offensive lineman, then drop back into coverage to kind of crowd that middle for that quick pass?
Yeah, well, I think on that play, it was a play-action pass. I don't think it was an RPO. And Hyde stepped up a little bit as you'd normally do on a play-action, but he had the awareness to know that they were trying to throw it in behind him, right behind the fake, and he turned and made a very athletic play on the ball, caught it like a receiver. So that was a great play on his part.
Yeah, a lot of people are comparing that to Teddy Bruschi because he's made a couple of those plays, you know, when he comes in and just, you know, the ball just makes a quick adjustment. Did you have flashbacks of seeing the old number 54?
maybe a little bit. I mean, I ran well with the ball, too.
Yeah,
like a running back.
Almost leapfrogged and made it into the end zone, too.
Yeah, it was a good run. So, used his blocker, set up the block by Flowers, and then and hurled again about the 4 or 5 yard line. So, that was impressive.
What's this like, coaching a game like this in which the next team that gets the ball ends up scoring, and the question is, are they going to get 7 to get 3? And you look at the end of the game, and I'm wondering what you're thinking as you're looking at the game clock and trying to figure it all out, the chess move one step ahead of the other. Because if anything, you could look at it in retrospect and say, with the Hill 75-yard touchdown, Kansas City scored too early because that meant you were going to get the ball back and you were going to be able to control the clock and you only needed 3 points to win the game. So what was the thought process as you're playing that all out at the end, Bill?
Well, I think Andy had already used a couple timeouts, and so they didn't have their full complement of timeouts. And then when we converted the third and one, which was a big conversion, then that gave us, I think he might have used his last timeout or next to last timeout. I think he used a second timeout in that series where we picked up that third and one. And so once that happened, then I felt like we could really control things. They couldn't really do much to stop it. So we hit James White out of the backfield. Then we hit Rob and, you know, kicked the field goal. So, you know, in all honesty, I don't think every time I know it's what you think, and maybe that's what some of the other people think. I don't think every time they get the ball, they're going to score. They got the ball two series before that, and we went 3 and out and got the ball back for our offense. So I think you just got to play each series as it is. But, you know, if you feel like you can have the last possession, which we did, as long as we made that third and short play, then you can, you know, if you get close enough, play it on your terms, get down there and kick the field goal at the end and win.
So, Bill, at the end of the first quarter, you guys tried that squib kick with Gostkowski. I'm curious, was that properly executed? And if not, what was the plan on that?
Yeah, well, obviously, Lou, it wasn't anything that we didn't want to do anything like that. So,
was it miscommunication? Was he supposed to kick it deep? Or was that a failed onside type of situation?
It was a bad play.
Kind of like Nunez.
base, yeah.
Have you ever been a part of a team that never punted and didn't get any penalties?
Well, those are, as long as you don't turn the ball over, not punting's a good thing.
Yeah.
Not getting penalties is definitely a good thing, but as long as you don't turn the ball over. So,
well,
we could have used one punt, I guess.
Well, I guess with all the passing, with all the you know, holding calls, it seems just almost uncanny that nobody even came close. I mean, it's impressive, but I can't remember the last time I saw any game, Pop Warner or whatever, where there wasn't one team had no penalties whatsoever, not even a false start.
So this might be a first for you?
Oh, no, we've had no penalty games before.
But both, no punting and?
I'm not sure about that.
We'll get the researches on
that. I think I saw a research, it might have been the first game. No punts, no penalties.
Wow.
And you guys have only had 18, I think, offensive, defensive penalties all year long. That's got to be something you guys are proud of, obviously.
Yeah, we try to play penalty-free every week. We've had too many penalties in the kicking game, but defensively, not many, and offensively, a few more in the defense, but still not bad. Yeah.
Breland Spreaks said that he let Tom Brady go because he was fearful of getting a roughing the passer penalty. I don't know why he'd be worried about it, because it would be half the distance to the goal. It's only going to cost him a couple yards. How do you address it with your players? Because this is something that's going on throughout the league right now. We're seeing an awful lot of this stuff called.
Well, we talked about it with the team last week. And again, I think after five regular season games, which is where we were last week, that there's enough evidence in on a lot of these rules as to how they're being called. And so we talked about that. Fortunately, we had an extra day in our work week, so we were able to take a few minutes to address some of the calls, catch, no catch, roughing the passer, taunting, kind of the way that's being called. So, you know, things like that, that just to try to make sure that everybody understands what we can and what we can't do.
Gostkowski is a guy that, I don't know, doesn't seem like he's getting enough attention for what he's been doing for all these years and for what he did last night. 5 for 5, 4 for 4 field goals. I mean, 5 for 5 field goals in a game where you need points. Like, you can't leave the field and not come off the field with points. I guess just talk about him and just what a clutch guy he's been for you guys.
Yeah, Steve's been tremendously consistent. He works hard. He trains well. He's in good shape, and he's got a strong leg. He's very poised and disciplined, doesn't get rattled, doesn't get that high on the big kicks, and doesn't, you know, get that low if something goes wrong. So he's really steady and consistent, and I've just been so fortunate here to have two great, great kickers. I've kind of never really worried about that position, thankfully.
Have you ever, like, for Adam or Gostkowski, have you ever, before a big kick, have you ever said anything to them? Or is it like a pitcher going through a no-hitter, you just stay the hell away from them? Have you just like, you got it, right up the middle.
Nobody
like,
talks to him.
Yeah. No, it's because there's been a lot.
Yeah, it would depend on the situation. I mean, normally there's not a lot to talk about. Like last night, for example, there was positioning of the ball was a factor. So we centered the ball to put it in the middle. Sometimes if there's and oftentimes in our stadium there's a win situation so that you wouldn't necessarily want it in the middle. You might want it on one hash or another based on the kicker's preference. So anyway, talk about that. But I mean, for the most part, unless you're going to do something unusual, there isn't much to talk about. Like if you're going to try to hard count and draw them offside, if it was a long field goal or if it was fourth and less than five and you're trying to, you know, run a play like that, then obviously you'd talk to the kicker about it so he was aware of it. But otherwise the strategy is pretty straightforward.
Kick it through the uprights.
That's the only reason to send the field goal team out there. That's what I tell them. The only reason you guys are going out there is to score points. I mean, I'm trying to put pressure on you, but that's what your job is to come back here with points.
Yeah, the reason I was saying it is because I've played with some kickers who weren't mentally strong. Like, yep. That moment kind of got to them, and sometimes they need it, I guess, just a look or just some, you know, affirmation from anybody to make themselves feel better about
it. You just take kickers.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, and that's I would say Steve and Adam, I would not put them in that category. I mean, they're confident. They know what they have to do. I don't think you need a big conversation or a big kumbaya with them. Just let them concentrate on what they're doing, go out there and do it, and that seems to work well for them.
We were talking about Tyreek Hill earlier, and you know he's fast. I mean, does it kind of even not just surprise you or shock you when you see it in person, but is it when Mahomes kind of scrambles, extends plays that makes him really dangerous and tough to cover?
Oh, he's tough to cover anything. I mean, he's tough to cover, period. He's very explosive, and he's a smart route runner. He knows how to use his speed. I mean, he doesn't just run fast into being covered. He runs fast into open spaces and knows how to stem routes and attack leverage and then get the open space. So he's good at all of it.
There were some defensive plays made, and you don't necessarily look at that when you see a 43-40 game. You talked, Christian, about limiting field goals versus touchdowns. They got exactly a situation that you like to get yourself in, where you're going to have that last possession, hopefully at the end of the first half, and you're going to accept the ball in the second half. They got exactly that. Harmon made that big interception. How huge was that, knowing that they did score on that 67-yard in the to open up the second half? How big was that at the time?
Yeah, that was a big play. It was certainly a lot of momentum, but 7 points is 7 points, or 3 points, whatever it would have been. So, Hightower had a lot to do with that. He came in there, and after he jammed, Kelsey came in and put pressure on Mahomes, and then we had Kelsey double covered. So when the pressure came from Hightower, he threw it in there into double coverage, literally, and ball got batted around and came down to Duran's hand. So that was a big stop for us. That was it was huge to get those. Especially in retrospect, didn't really seem like at the time that 3 points was. Although in this game it's going to end up being close. I think you just felt that. Those are 3 big points.
Lou was talking about Tyreek Hill and just how fast he was, and like sometimes you can think you have an angle on a guy, and then you realize, oh no, I don't. Because I think I saw it was either Devin or Duran talking about how he's one of the fastest guys he's ever seen in pads. Is he?
Yeah.
And if he isn't, can you give me another guy you think is one of the fastest?
No.
He's the fastest guy you've ever seen in pads?
He's fast. He's fast.
I'm trying to think of Rocket Ishmael, maybe? No? None of those guys?
Too quick.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, there's fast guys. He's fast. We've had a couple Olympic sprinters.
Bethel Johnson was a fast straight line guy.
Yeah. Bates. We had Cleveland. Kid we had from Florida, the running back from Florida, who ended up going back into track.
Yeah.
Was fast. I don't think they're like Tyreek Hill fast.
We were talking earlier about Josh Gordon, and Christian was pointing out that, these slants, he catches the ball with his hands. He just plucks it out of the air. I mean, is that something that you don't normally see your guys comfortable being able to do that? And he is.
Well, yeah, that's what you want to do. That's what you want the receivers to do, is tack the ball with their hands and take it out in front. And he has good, strong hands. They're big and they're soft, but they're strong. When he catches the ball, you can tell even on the practice field that it's a clamp grip. So guys that have really good hands, you don't really hear the ball hit their hands. They just have that give and control and all that. A lot of guys that don't have good hands, you hear the smack, you hear the ball collide with their hands and. But yeah, I put Josh into that category. He's got soft hands. He's got good. He's able to adjust. He's athletic and flexible, so he can adjust the ball. It doesn't have to be right there in front of him. It's behind him or high or low. He can adjust to it.
All right, Bill. Before we close this out, I got one on the Bears for Sunday afternoon. A lot's going to be made of Khalil Mack, and he's a terrific player. How much is he opening up for other players defensively? Akeem Hicks, a guy that extremely well, has played extremely well. Does Mack just change what they do defensively and just open stuff up for other guys because you've got to put so much attention on Mack?
Well, I'd say to this point, I haven't seen a lot of, game planning with him. They put him where they put him and play their defense. They don't do a lot that where he moves it to different positions or that type of thing. He's basically on our right side, and he's a very explosive player off the ball, speed to power guy, and and he's been very disruptive. He's had interceptions, he's had sacks, he's had strip sacks, he's had fumbles, batted balls, and everything else. So he's a tough guy to deal with. I'm sure it makes everybody else better because there is some attention to him, but at the same time, he's been disruptive in every game that I've seen.
All right, so we're going to wrap things up with our Mercedes-Benz Drive of the Week. Coach, I know you look forward to this question more than anything during the week.
It is the highlight of the week.
It is, right? You end the week and on to Chicago. So what do you think was the best drive? There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the last one, the winning field goal. Let's go with that one.
It's funny because was that so Gronk was finally singled out, like hit man coverage. Were you guys surprised that at that point in time in the game they were going to – I think he was a safety. I'm not even sure. Number 38.
Yeah. Parker was on him. I wouldn't say surprised. He was on him before. I think if Rob had been in tight, the end probably would have jammed him, so it would have looked like double coverage. So by extending him, we would have either forced the double coverage out, which would have created space for somebody else or changed the pass rush, or they might not go out with him, which they didn't, and then create a one-on-one situation. So. Tom saw that. I mean, Tom doesn't miss much anyway, but he wasn't going to miss that one.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so our drive of the week was brought to you by Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Okay, now you can go.
Go ahead. Got the evil eye from you. Conversation with the coach brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. 4-2, coach, on to Chicago. We'll talk to you next Monday. Good luck.
Sounds good. All right, thank you. Thanks, Scott. Lou. Christian.
Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.